Today we're going to look at our seventh lesson on our way back to God, and we're going to title it Broken Bones and Beautiful Music. Broken Bones and Beautiful Music. Look what it says in verses 1 through 8. Of course, this is a psalm that David wrote. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." You know, if people could hear joy and gladness again, you know, I believe that would be a mighty revival amongst God's people. You know, I get to preach every now and then out, and I get to preach here all the time. And you know, I look out and there's a lot of unhappy folks. There's a lot of people who can't smile. There's a lot of people who don't exude joy or gladness. Now, I've often wondered, you know, is it my preaching that makes them so sad? No, they come in looking like that even before I start. Perhaps they know what they're going to get. I don't know. But what happened to the joy amongst God's people? Where's the gladness? Well, oftentimes we rob ourselves of joy because, you know what? We have crusted our hearts and hardened our hearts against the Lord. And we have unconfessed sins. And then we feel like our bones are broken and crushed. And you know what? It silences our joy and gladness. God desires truth in inward parts. He wants us to be in harmony and in line with His Word. And not just when we come to church. This is supposed to be lived out 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Now, His Spirit does convict us of sin. Does the Spirit of God not do those things? But then what do we do when He does? Thank God we can confess our sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. God will cleanse us. The problem is we don't confess our sin like we should. We can hear the beautiful sound of joy and gladness once again once we get our hearts right with the Lord. From Psalm 51... We know David was a child of God. He was saved, and yet he sinned. Now, God was his father. But what is a heavenly father to do with a child who has sinned? Broken communication with God is part of the consequences of sin. Have you ever sinned and then tried to pray, and you haven't confessed that sin? How far do you think those prayers go? Not at all. They don't go anywhere. And you know what you need to do. And yet some of us continue on like we did nothing wrong. Broken communication, broken fellowship with God, that'll make a person miserable. David's problem with women didn't begin with Bathsheba. After leaving Hebron, David took more concubines and wives. Now, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 5:13, and David took him more concubines. You say, what's a concubine? That's a substitute for a wife. And wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born unto David. Now, God had strictly forbidden multiple wives in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Notice what it says, Deuteronomy chapter 17. Verse 14 through 17. Now, oftentimes you read the Bible and you think, well, you know what? Solomon had 1,000 wives. This king had multitudes of wives. Other kings had multiple wives. What's wrong with having multiple wives? Well, you know what? Are we not supposed to pattern our marriage after the same marriage that God created in the Garden of Eden? And you know what? When you read about the Garden of Eden, it was Adam and what? Eve. It wasn't Adam, Eve, and Diana, and Carol, and you name it. It wasn't that. It was just two people. And the Bible says two shall become what? One. It doesn't say three. It doesn't say four. But notice what it says here in verses 14 through 17. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are about me. Now, did God know that this was going to take place? He sure did. Now, you know what? When they asked for a king, basically they were rejecting the King of Kings. They said, hey, we want a man to rule over us. Well, why would you want a man to rule over you when you got God ruling over you? It says, thou shalt in any wise send him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set a king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. So you're not supposed to, once you get into the promised land, once you are saved and redeemed by the blood, you're not supposed to go back into the world. Neither shall, notice this, king, shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Now, David's actions may be considered legal and not considered adultery in the culture of his day when he was living. Nevertheless, what he did by multiplying wives was considered sin in the eyes of God. You know, I've run across some Christians who think, you know what, if it's legal down here, it's okay. Now, gambling's legal, isn't it? Now, is that okay with the Lord? Alcohol is legal down here, but is that okay with the Lord? Abortion is legal down here, but is that okay with the Lord? You know, you can even get pain medication at all these Green Cross places, right? Joe was in pain yesterday. We had to stop by and pick some up for him. But is that legal? Is that legal?
No,
but while he was going in, he was singing about Cana land, Cana land. So, but you know what? That's not legal in heaven, is it? Now, folks, I'm telling you, just because it's legal down here doesn't mean it's right in heaven. And it is sin according to the scriptures. Now, David is not the only man to have problem with women. You know, there was a poll conducted of 1,000 pastors, and the pastors were questioned concerning moral purity. And in the poll, 12% confessed to committing adultery while in the ministry. That's 1 out of 8 pastors. Then another 23% confessed to having done something they considered sexually inappropriate. Now, the poll happened to be taken 20 years ago. One can only imagine what the statistics are today. You know, I remember reading something about 5 years ago. 1 out of 3 church-going men have looked at porn in the past week. And we wonder why we're in such a mess. Now, there is a payment for sin, and Christ made that payment with his own blood. Now, he paid for our sin. That means if we paid for our own sin, we would die and go to hell. But if we trust in what Christ did on the cross, his finished work, we get to go to heaven. He paid our sin debt. And as a child of God, because once we received him, we have the authority, or the, what's that, John 1:12. But as many as received him Okay, we become children of God, right? And so as children of God, he's our father. And you know what? When we sin, he deals with it. Now, every good parent will deal with their children when they misbehave. Well, not me. I love them too much. No, you don't love them enough. You don't care if they do right. David cried out to God in Psalm 51, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, who broke David's bones? God did. That's what it says, does it not? David said, make me to hear. Now, what he's saying is, whatever it takes, Lord, I want to hear joy and gladness once again. I'm miserable in my sin. Now, David knew what it was like to walk with God. He knew what it was like to be near to the Lord. He knew what it was like to have sweet fellowship with the Savior and to have fellowship disturbed by sin. And he says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Now, how many remember when you got saved? All right. Now, how many remember the joy that filled your heart? All right. Now, where's it gone? Why is it gone? Shouldn't be. You know, I think the longer you're saved and the more you grow, you ought to have more joy. But the fact of the matter is, some haven't had it for years. You're enduring. You're not enjoying. Now, whose problem is it? Must be the Lord's. Must be everybody else that causes you problems. No, it's you. David's saying, Lord, I cannot bear to live like this anymore. I'm miserable in my sin. I want to hear joy and gladness again. I recognize that you have chastened me. You've broken my bones. David said, my bones are broken. Now, it's not just a wound in the flesh. It was not just some scratch on the skin. Now, the bone structure of the body is the framework from which everything else is supported, is it not? And David cries out to God, Lord, I don't have a scratch on my skin. I'm not having a bruise on my body. My framework is crushed. I'm miserable within. My bones are broken. My strength is gone. And this sin is crushing me. Have you ever had a broken bone? I have. You know what I find out about a broken bone? It hurts. And you know what a doctor will tell you to do when you have a broken bone? Don't move it. That's why they put a cast on it. Now, what I'm getting at is this. Sometimes, you know that, well, not all the time, that broken bone is, it needs to be stayed in place. But you know, when you think about it, here's Satan. He promotes the idea that sin is fun. Correct? Now, when David entertained the idea of getting involved with Bathsheba and committing adultery with her, there's no doubt he thought, man, this is going to be pleasurable. This is going to be fun. However, he found out, like all people do, that the pleasures of sin only last for a season. You know, you can go to somebody who's in the bondage of sin and say, hey, you having a good time? They'll tell you no. They wish they could be set free from it. And they can be if they put their faith in Christ, but so often that sin just binds them. They don't want to have anything to do. All they do is live for that sin. Anybody who's been addicted to something will understand that. And it's a terrible situation. The pleasure that David found in his sin only lasted for a little while. And then God dealt with David about it. And David cries out, my bones are broken. You know, he's saying, I no longer hear God's voice. That doesn't happen to us, does it? You know, sometimes we go through the motions of our Christian faith, don't we? We got sin in our life, we're not willing to confess it, but we still get up and read our Bibles. And then when we close it, we get nothing out of it. Then we try to pray, and guess what? We're not heard. And we still can't figure it out. Well, that's a terrible situation to be in. And then we get done, we're still as miserable as we were when we woke up. Crazy, isn't it? When will it come to our senses that we need to confess the sin that we have committed? Get things straight so we can have joy and gladness once again. Then we see our help. The same thing that hurts us also helps us. Now, I've heard a number of stories of people who have broken bones and it wasn't set properly. Have you ever heard of that? Now, what happens when that bone doesn't set properly? What do a doctor got to do? He's got to re-break it. That's something to look forward to. No. Now, many Christians' lives are like an improperly set bone. We have had broken bones because of our sins, and because we don't care for them properly and haven't taken them to the Lord Jesus, the great physician, in order to help us, God must go through that breaking process again. And it hurts. But it still, in the long run, helps us. David's bones had to be broken. Of course, God did not literally crush David's bones in his body. David is talking about the very fiber of his existence was crushed. He was miserable in his sin. He had to have this hurt in his life to help him see that he needed the Lord. You know, so often we neglect that. We've been convicted. We know what's wrong with us, and yet we try to go on, put on a facade. We don't take care of this, and we continue in our misery and in our sadness. And God continues to what? Continues to put more and more pressure upon us. The chastisements gets heavier and heavier. Now, he does that to hurt us because he doesn't love us. No, he loves you too much to continue on in your sin. In Psalm 119, verse 65 through 67, the Bible says this. Now, I happen to believe David wrote Psalm 119. If you don't, that's okay. I'm not going to argue with you about that. The Bible doesn't say, but it just seems to fit pretty well into the life of David. It says, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted," what? "I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." You know what the psalmist is saying? Man, I hurt. Man, I was afflicted. But it helped me in the end. Because now I'm keeping your word. God pointed out the need and brought me back to himself. That affliction that I've gone through, it was good for me. Then it continues in verse 68 through 71. "Thou art good." Uh-oh. Whoa. Even when he afflicts us? Oh, I thought he was only good when things were going good for us. No, he's good all the time. All the time God is good. That is part of his character. "And do us good." Uh-oh. Really? When he afflicts us, he's still doing good to us? Oh. "Teach me thy" what? "Statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy" what? "Woo." You see that? Then verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast what? Afflicted me. In other words, it is because of God's faithfulness to us that he afflicts us. Now, isn't that good? Right, preacher, that's what I mean. Then notice our hearing. David says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Now, sin comes into our lives, and you know when it comes into our lives? It comes into our lives when we take our eyes off of Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 20, don't miss this. And when he had so said, speaking of Jesus, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. To hear joy and gladness means to get a clear vision of Jesus once again. What did it take for David to see the Lord clearly? Well, if he wanted to hear joy and gladness again, he had to suffer the hurt that God was putting on him, and he had to do it in a rightful manner, did he not? What will it take for us to see the Lord clearly again? What will it take for us to hear joy and gladness again? You know, I don't understand when people come to church why there isn't an excitement in the air, why there isn't joy, and why don't we lift up our singing so the roof just about comes off. Some of us can't even say an amen every now and then. Maybe some of you guys ought to get permission from your wife before you come to church that you can do a little shouting. Thank you, Laura, for giving him permission.
Amen.
But isn't that sad? You know, there's times I've preached in churches and there's hundreds of people and you can't get a squeal out of them. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, notice what it says here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Then what's the next thing? Oh, what? Now, how many think if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll exude the fruit of the Spirit? Okay. So how many think if you're not having joy, the fruit of the Spirit is not yours? It's all one fruit here. You just can't parse it out. Now, our Heavenly Father wants us to hear his voice. And the Word of God says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 through 5. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up and I didn't listen to my father's voice and do as I was told, it didn't go well for me. I didn't hear joy and gladness. No, I didn't even feel joy and gladness. Yeah, it was the broken bone effect. Anybody else like that? Sure. And how many appreciated it when you were growing up? No. But you know what? I look back and I appreciate it. But I didn't at the time. No, it wasn't a pleasurable experience. But notice what it says in Hebrews 12, 3 through 5. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, despise not what? We ought to be glad we're chastened. Isn't that what it's saying? Well, I don't like it. Well, you know what? Then get right. I mean, that's on you. God ain't doing us wrong. And I don't think my dad or my mom did me wrong when they disciplined me either. They were looking after my good. They wanted me to turn out right. Not rotten. It didn't help all that much, but hey, it helped a little. Now notice the words despise not and chastening. You know what the word despise not means? Don't look down on it. Don't scorn it. And the word chastening has to do with child rearing. The meaning is to subject someone to discipline. God is telling us not to scorn or look down on what he does in order to discipline us as his children. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, we read, "The rod of reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Now, if God's children are left to themselves, they bring constant shame to their heavenly Father. Therefore, he deals with us and he chastens us that we become more like his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible continues in Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 10. "For whom the Lord loveth, he doesn't punish." It's not what it says, does it? Now, think of that. How many ever heard a mom tell you, "Well, I love my child too much to discipline him"? Maybe some of you raised your children that way. And that's why they bring shame to you today. They're not living for the Lord like they ought to. Now think about that. If you love them, what? You'll chasten them, right? Now, it goes on to say, "And scourges every son whom he receiveth." Now, how many think that's a pleasurable thing? No. But you know what? Some of us who had children didn't put the rod to that well-padded place on their body. We let them get away with things. We didn't correct them. We didn't bring them upright. Now, we didn't mind other kids getting whooped, but we wouldn't do it to our own. You know, one of the reasons I knew I was my father's? Because he whooped me plenty. You know, he never whipped any of the neighbor's kids. You know why? It wasn't his responsibility. You know what his responsibility was? To chasten his own. And that was it. Nobody else's. No, now notice. If he endured chastening, thank God he didn't kill me. I'd endured. God dealeth with you as with what? For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Well, let's find out. "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye what? And not sons." You know that word isn't used anymore, is it? It used to be. Now it's just, you know, you got baby daddies and baby mamas. You can't even say that's an illegitimate kid. And you know what? It's not the kid's fault. You got two illegitimate whoremongers. But what they produced is a bastard. Should we not use biblical language? And not sons. Furthermore, now I ain't going up to anybody and say, you know, where's your husband? I don't know where he's at. You know, I don't have a husband. Well, where'd this kid come from? Well, you know, me and my boyfriend, oh, so he's a bastard. I'm not doing that. Now, some knuckleheads do. But I'm not one of them. It's not the kid's fault. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Good fathers. Bad fathers won't do that. And we gave them what? Yeah, I still honored my father. I still do today. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father in spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Yeah, sometimes he just got mad and needed a release, and I happened to be there. Right? Anybody else ever get that? It's like, but he for what? Our prophet. So it's not like he just gets mad and says, okay, I haven't taken Earl out for a while. I think he needs to go to the woodshed. No, it doesn't work that way. He always does it, what? For our profit. That we might be partakers of what? So he's trying, when he's chasing us, to correct us so that we become holy people. Now that's pretty good stuff, isn't it? And I'll be honest, when I was growing up, most of the time I got disciplined, it was because I was being corrected for something I did wrong. Amen? And I'm glad he did that. You know, and I'm glad the Father in heaven also chastens us. I need it. Now, why were David's bones broken? Because of the Lord disciplining David's life. And so he could hear joy and gladness once more. Why does God deal with us this way? Because he will not stand by and watch his children destroy themselves. He loves them too much for that to take place. You know, sometimes people, I think, get the wrong message here. They just think, you know, when they come here and I preach hard against sin and I'm just some mean, unchristian rascal up there that's just throwing a hissy fit. No. You know why I do that? Because I hate you folks. No, that's not true. I love you too much for you to be involved in this nonsense, so because it's destroying you. You know, if a preacher doesn't hate sin, then what in the world's he doing behind a pulpit? The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 through 15. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Meaning, you know what? They got it. They got right. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be what? Have you ever noticed some people, some believers, God chastens them, and what do? They harden themselves, and they get bitter against God. How dare you? Boy, they are pleasant people to be around, aren't they? Why would they be like that when they can have joy and gladness? But then ask yourself the question, why don't I have that joy and gladness? Why do I remain unpleasant? Why do I not have joy? What happened to that joy when I first got saved? Where is it? Why is it gone? Well, it's sin. Sin has robbed you of that. Now, God deals with us, and his chastening certainly isn't joyous, but it will result in joy in the end when we get right with him. God says when he gets through with us, it's going to yield the peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy. To hear joy and gladness, sometimes it's going to hurt us because of the sin that we have in our life. But the hurt will help us as we turn to the Lord and allow his chastening, us to be exercised by his chastening. And then we should be able to hear joy and gladness once again. All right, we're done. Let's all stand.